What's up, guys? It's good to see everybody. Hey, I want to invite you to pull out your cell phone. If you've got a Facebook account, go to our church webpage. We've got a stream set up. There's a lot of people, since the virus is kind of toning down, that are now looking for a church in Collinsville. And what I want to invite you to do is, when we get together on Sundays, when our service starts and that stream starts up, go to our Facebook page and hit the share button on that stream and share it to your Facebook page. And what that's going to do is that's going to put our church in front of a lot of your friends and your family whenever they're looking for a place to go or a church to be a part of. We just want them to come check us out, and we want to make some new friends. So if you guys can do that, I would appreciate it. And we are in a series here called Under Armour. We've been for the past few weeks going through Ephesians 6, looking at the armor of God. You've got some notes in your bulletin. If you've got a bulletin, you can pull those out. It's going to have most of the scriptures we're going to go over right there in one convenient spot. Where those aren't on your notes, we're going to put them up on the screen for you. But I'm just going to read our passage, and then we are going to be talking today about the breastplate of righteousness and what righteousness is, how it affects our life, and it's going to be a really practical look into God's word for us today. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to start reading, okay? Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us together today. I want to thank you for, God, just the smiling faces that I see around me and the relationships and the friendships I've been able to build here over the years. God, so many people in this room are like family to me and my family. I get to see my kids being blessed by the relationships they have. I get to see my wife being blessed by the relationships that she has. And God, we love making new friends. And so for our guests that are here today, I want to thank you for bringing them to us. And I pray that you open our hearts as we open your word and help us to apply these truths, God, because we know the best life possible is wrapped up in a relationship with you and doing life the way you say to do it. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read from Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. We're going to go through 17. It says, this is Paul writing. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." All right, so we talked last week about how in this passage, Paul reveals that we've got an enemy that's against us. And that Christianity and faith isn't just about moral principles. It isn't just about following rules. It isn't just about right living. The faith that the scriptures reveal is there is a very real supernatural world that we can't see with the naked eye, but it's just as real as you and I are. Angels, demons, forces that are unseen, but that God sees, and that God has power over, and that you and I are under attack from. That word against shows up over and over in that passage. We're in a battle. Christianity is a battlefield. It's not simply a like a social club. Whenever you become a disciple, when you engage in faith, you're entering into a spiritual battle. And if you're not going to become a victim in this spiritual battle, Paul says you've got to take steps to prepare yourself to be ready. Last week we talked about truth and how these different concepts are in here are all hinged on the truth. And if this stuff isn't based in reality, if I'm just sharing myths and fairy tales up here, really we could be doing something else with our time because we're wasting it here. But if it is true, if this is based in reality, if there is a God and the Bible is from God, then this should be the most important thing in my life. So there's one extreme or the other. It's either the most important thing in my life or this is a waste of time. What are we doing here? My point last week was this is reality. This is the truth. Our faith is based in fact, not in fiction. And what we're going to move on to talking about today is this breastplate of righteousness. Okay? So what in the world is righteousness? Who in here likes candy? Anybody? Okay. You guys like candy? You want some candy? Okay. You want some candy. Come here. I told you I was going to pick on you if you sat on the front row. You didn't believe me, did you?
No, I didn't.
You thought I was joking. You guys give Olivia a hand for walking up here. She's so brave. Okay. You want this?
Sure.
Hold on.
No. I'd probably still do it. No, I'm okay.
Hold it for me. Okay. Take that one. If you had to make a choice between the two, which one are you taking?
Probably this one.
Why?
I like Tootsie Pops better.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good for your braces? Okay. Not good for you. It's got its wrapper on it though, right?
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Go sit down. Listen. One of those had a wrapper on it, one of them didn't. I wiped both of them on my shoe. One of them was protected and one of them wasn't. One of them got dirty and one of them was still okay. What righteousness is, and I, just to give you a visual, it's like a protection that we put over ourselves or that God puts over us that protects us from the corruption of the world. And we're going to unpack that as we move on. Your first blank is righteousness provides vital protection. The breastplate for a Roman soldier, which Paul is taking his illustration from, was the part of the Roman soldier's army that protected the vital organs. And what righteousness does for us is it covers us and it protects our hearts and our inner selves from the corruption of the world when properly applied. If we don't have righteousness in our lives, if we're not covered by it, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to be ill-equipped for battle. Our hearts are going to be touched by that corruption and that disorder, and it's going to get in there and it's going to cause problems. So the next question is, what is righteousness? What does it mean to be righteous? How can I become righteous? That's going to be our lesson today, the heart of it, okay? Number one, what is righteousness? Righteousness is God's sense of order. Righteousness is God's sense of order. A simple way is just, it's doing what's right. But who says what's right? It's doing what's right according to God. God's sense of order is perfect. Righteousness is what is right according to perfection, according to the standard of perfection, the standard of truth according to God. Deuteronomy 32, 3 and 4 says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock." Look at this. His work is what? Perfect. "For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." His word is perfect. His character is completely righteous. His character is completely ordered. And to be honest with you guys today, people can have a very strong sense of what's right and wrong. Can't we? We can have a very strong sense of what's right and wrong. We can have a very strong sense of what's in order and what's out of order. Marriage is one of those areas today where we have very strong opinions about what's right and wrong. I don't need to wait till marriage to have sex with my girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, or I don't need to stay married after I've said my vows. If things get hard, we can just get a divorce, you know. Or what about the way we handle pleasure, you know. It's okay if I get drunk every once in a while, man, I'm not an alcoholic. I get high every once in a while, it's not a big deal. What about at work, man? I can bend the rules a little bit here. This client ain't going to know if I tell him a little lie. It's just a little lie. It's not going to hurt him. It's just going to make him re-up the contract. Ain't no big deal. You know, or what about you students at school? Man, I don't need to work hard in this class. What, am I going to go spit out the answer to an equation at McDonald's and they're going to give me a hamburger? You've said it. You know it. Right? I don't need to listen to my leaders at church. Man, they're just people. What do they know? Okay. I say all of those specific things because God has spoken on every single one of those things. Like, there's commands and there's scripture that informs our ideas of every single one of those things. Those are not areas of life where God has not spoken. And so we can have very strong opinions about right and wrong. We can have sound arguments about our opinions of right and wrong. But the truth is, at the end of the day, you want to know what doesn't matter at the end of the day? What I think. It does not matter. I can think something very, very strongly. It does not matter what I think in the end. What matters is what God thinks. And so if we want to know what God thinks, we need to go to the standard. We need to go to God Himself. And here's the truth, guys. You and I were built according to design. This is one of the truths in Scripture. There's a creator God. We talked last week about how we were created through Jesus and for Jesus. There's a creator. There's a design. There is a way of life. There is a mission in life that God has uniquely designed every one of us for. And whenever we act unrighteously, whenever we sin, we're acting out of order. We're acting unrighteously, which just means we're not acting according to our design. You guys get that? Number two, here's another truth about righteousness. Number two, the whole world is out of order, including me. How many of you guys, when you go to the gas station, you see one of them little baggies on the pump at the handle? What does that mean? It means it's out of order. What does out of order mean? Means it ain't working right. If you go to work, go to the break room, go to the vending machine, there's a sign on there that says out of order. What does it mean? You gonna get a snack out of that machine? No, it ain't working right. You go to the toilet, there's an out of order sign. What's it mean? Oh, it's working perfectly. I'm gonna use this one twice. No, it means it ain't working. Don't use it. It's out of order. Guys, go home today, get out a post-it note, get you a Sharpie, write out of order on it, and then put it on your forehead. Because every single one of us is out of order. If you have sinned, you are out of order. If you have fallen short, you are out of order. If you have done anything in your whole life that dishonors God, you are out of order. Does that make sense? Means you're corrupted. You're not acting according to your design. Romans 3:10, you're in good company though. Romans 3:10 and 23, there is no one righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Did you know the Bible said that about us? All that's saying is 100% of us in this room are unrighteous. 100% of us in this room are out of order. 100% of us in this room have been affected by sin. 100% of us in this room have been affected by this battle that we're in, by these spiritual forces of evil in this corrupt, out of order world. We're born into a world out of order. The out of order affects us. We become out of order. We are in trouble unless we get fixed. You guys tracking with me? This is the effect of unrighteousness. Number three. This is another huge truth about righteousness. I cannot become in order or righteous on my own. I cannot become in order or righteous on my own. I need a volunteer. Ronnie, you want to volunteer? I need a brave volunteer. I would have picked you, Nefe, but sorry. I'll get you next time. Don't worry. Okay, so Ronnie, what color is this shirt?
Tan.
You know what color it used to be?
Tan.
No, it used to be white. What happened to this shirt? What do you guys think? Do you see that? What's on this shirt? Here, smell it. You want to smell it? You want to smell it? What's on this shirt, dude? What is it? It's crusty. You see that? It's crusty. What is it? What's that taste like? It smells like soy sauce. Oh man, there's some soy sauce on here. What's that red stuff though? What is that? And what's that black stuff? And man, there's like a chunk of something on it. Man, this shirt's dirty, dude. You wanna put this shirt on?
No.
Too bad. Come here. Now believe it or not, Ronnie, come on, put your arms in there, son. Come on, son. You like wearing this shirt? Why? It's gross. It's dirty. Feel that. Feel that. Is that crusty? Man, that's crusty. That's nasty. Guess what? I put that through the washing machine, though. You believe me?
No.
I'm telling the truth. I really did. I put this through the washing machine. I'm telling you the truth. Seriously, I did. You guys believe me? I'm telling you the God's honest truth. I literally put this through the washing machine. Okay? You're telling me this ain't clean?
Yeah.
You're telling me this ain't clean?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a problem. That's a problem. You want to know what the Bible says? Here's the thing, guys. Here's our logic. Who's the source of truth, by the way? Jesus is the source of truth. God's source of truth. I come along and I say, man, all that religion stuff about me needing to get right with God, I'm a good guy. I give to charity. I take care of my family. I don't run around on my wife. And I don't believe that God stuff, but I'm a good guy. Okay? Have you sinned? Have you sinned? What happens when you sin? You're out of order. You say, but I'm a good guy. I put it through the washing machine. You guys see what I'm saying? I literally put this through the washing machine. Now, I took it in my backyard, and I stomped on it, and I put food on it, and I let my dogs lick it off, and I made a video of it that I'll post on Facebook later. But then I put it through the washing machine. But guys, is this shirt white? It's corrupted. But I'm a good guy, okay? Here's the thing, guys, the fourth point on here is Jesus is the only one who can help me. I'm corrupted. I can try to be a good guy. Man, look, Jesus comes along. And here's the thing. Jesus comes along and looks and says, you're dirty. You need some help. Guys, is that mean for me to say this shirt is dirty? Is that mean? Okay. Do you guys think God is mean when he looks and says, you guys are covered in sin? But guys, what if we're saying, I'm a good guy though? I'm a good guy. It's not being mean when Jesus looks and says, you're covered in sin. He's not trying to just be mean. He's just sharing an objective truth. You guys see that? It would be unloving for him to say, oh, your shirt's white, you're good. Now, what Jesus says is, you are covered in sin, you need help, I'm going to help you. Now, it would be mean if he said, you're covered in sin, I'm leaving. That's not what he says. What Jesus says is, I'm going to cover you. And so I've got a red shirt here. Guys, this shirt's clean. You see this? It's clean, and it's a Cardinal shirt, and it's a Molina jersey. He might gun you down at second base, boy. Look, Jesus says, I'm going to cover you. And you guys might notice there's a number on this shirt. But this is a jersey. You guys know what a jersey means when you put a jersey on? It means you're on a team. And you got a number on so you can be identified because God knows who you are. So Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to cover you with my blood. I'm going to cover you with my grace. I'm going to make you clean. And you're going to join my team. And then I'm going to teach you how to be on my team. But this righteousness right here is going to cover you whenever you stand before the Lord. Whenever we come back to make everything right, to remove all this corruption, I'm going to look down here at Ronnie And I'm not going to see Ronnie in that dirty old shirt. I'm not going to see that sin. I'm going to see somebody that's on my team. And matter of fact, we're just going to say, you're part of the family, son. You're part of the family. You guys give him a hand. You can take those off if you want to, buddy. Thank you. You guys get it? Who gives us the covering? It says in Philippians 3, you need some help, partner? Yeah, that thing don't act like a normal shirt, does it? It don't. Woo! Y'all didn't see that one coming, did you? You better not sleep. I'll get you. You never know what's going to happen at the Crossings Church. Philippians 3, 8 and 9. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth. This is Paul writing. Of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Look at this now. Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. He's talking about the Mosaic law from the Old Testament there. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is on the basis of faith. Paul's saying, I do not come up with the covering on my own. I need an outside force. I need a helper. I need a savior to provide the covering for me. He says in Romans 3, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, that word believe, that word faith was used a couple times there. We're actually going to have a whole lesson on faith, so I'm not going to pound on this too much. But in the Bible, believe and faith is a specific word. It is better thought of as allegiance. Whenever you run across it, it's better thought of as allegiance or loyalty. It's not simply talking about mental assent in the original languages. And here's the point, guys. Righteousness, that covering, that order from God, is only possible through allegiance to King Jesus. It is only possible through allegiance to King Jesus. That's it. And it's available to all of us. This is not something that God withholds from anyone. It is available to everybody. The way you take advantage of this grace and this covering that God makes available is through giving loyalty to Jesus Christ and saying, hey, you're in charge. I'm going to invite your authority into my life. That's what it means to seek righteousness. You're seeking God's order. And here's what happens. Here's what's available. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, this is called the Great Exchange. This is a famous verse from the Bible that packs a punch. There's a great truth here. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Man, what a beautiful, beautiful picture that paints right there. What that's saying is that God put my disorder on the one who did not deserve it, the one who lived a perfect life, and he gave his order to me, his righteousness to me, where he took my brokenness, he gives me his wholeness. Where he took my chaos, he gives me his harmony. Where he took my hate, he gives me his love. Where he took my incompatibility, he gives me his compatibility. Where he took my inconsistency, he gives me his consistency. Where he took my lawlessness, he gives me his lawfulness. Where he took my turmoil, he gives me his peace. Where he took my incompleteness, completeness, he gives me his completeness. Where he took my untrustworthiness, he gives me his trustworthiness. Where he took my disrespectfulness, he gives me his respectfulness. Where he took my dirtiness, he gives me his cleanliness. Where he took my dishonesty, he gives me his honesty. Where he took my immorality, he gives me his morality. Where he took my bad, he gives me his good. Where he took my sin, he gives me his righteousness. That's what this means. And that's a good news for somebody that can't make themselves clean. And guys, that's available to all of us. It's available to 100% of the people in the world. The choice is whether you want to take advantage of it or not. It's not whether you can or not. And so how do I put on the breastplate? Paul talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I want you to think of righteousness in terms of order. God's order. Whenever you put on God's righteousness, what you're saying is I'm inviting God's order into my life, or I'm inviting God's authority into my life. You guys get that? So I'm going to give you an acronym this morning. The acronym O-R-D-E-R, order, okay? We're going to take this from the book of Proverbs. Just going to look quickly through Proverbs 3. Because in Proverbs, it's all about becoming wise. Being wise and being righteous are the same thing in the Bible. It's the same concept, okay? The O, if you want to put on the breastplate of righteousness, is I will open God's word. I will open God's word. Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Okay, he's saying bind them on your heart. That means, hey, learn this well enough where you just know it by heart. Whenever Jesus was attacked, if you read the Gospels, by Satan in the desert, Satan comes and attacks him with temptation. This is Jesus Christ. The way Jesus Christ responds to Satan's attacks when he was tired and hungry and alone is he quoted passages from Deuteronomy by heart. And he knew the book well enough that he was able to share those scriptures in context from memory. Okay? That's how much time he spent in the Word of God. It says that Jesus got up early in the morning as was his custom. He went up when it was still dark outside. He spent time in prayer. He spent time communing with the Father. On Saturdays for them, he was in synagogue every week, which is synagogue for them, for the Jews back then, was kind of like Sundays for us. They would get together. They would open up the scriptures. They would read it, and they would talk about how to apply it to their lives. It was a very practical meeting for them at synagogue. He was there every week. Okay? He was engaged, not only corporately with everybody, he was engaged on his own. He was a man who opened the Word of God. Other spiritual giants in the Bible were people who opened the Word of God. They were people who were in the Word of God. I was blessed to be raised in a household where if I woke up early in the morning, I could count on seeing both my mom and dad sitting at the table with their Bibles open and a cup of coffee at 5 a.m. That's how they wake up every day. It's how they did it my whole life. It was an example that I got to see. It was something that I know they're serious about their faith. Guys, that's a litmus test for who's serious and who isn't, honestly. Is, are you in the Word? Do you bother to take time out of your day to get in the Word? You say, I don't like reading. Well, you can listen to it. You can get an app on your cell phone, literally, that will read to you. You don't even have to read. Okay? Well, I ain't got time. Okay, whatever. You're not serious. Honestly, that's just what it is. You don't care that much. We have more access to Bibles now than we ever have in history. They're literally everywhere. And with the internet, they're just everywhere. So my challenge to you is if this isn't something that you're practicing, man, engage in this. Engage in this because it's available and God will bless you. And you will not be spiritually mature if you are not a person that's grounded in the Word of God. You will not be righteous if you're not grounded in the Word of God. You must be grounded in the Word of God. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. That's Isaiah 45, 19. This is where we get the idea of right and wrong. The R is I will refine my understanding of right and wrong. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This just means that we allow God's word to define our morality. You know, the world says a lot of things are okay nowadays. Whenever you compare them to what God says, properly understood, they're not. And so am I going to align myself with popular culture? Am I going to align myself with what my political party says? Am I going to align myself with this person or that person I respect? Or am I going to let God have the final word? And figuring that out for some issues takes some work, but honestly, if we're not looking to God for the answers, we're already in trouble. We've got to base our sense of right and wrong, our sense of righteousness and unrighteousness, on the source of righteousness. And if we take these messages from popular culture, or if we let our family of origin, or just the friend group we run around with, if they're kind of the ones that determine our morality or our stances on certain issues, we're not turning to the source of authority that God has laid out for us. Righteousness, God has a monopoly on. So if we want to make a righteous decision, we need to look to Him. The D is I will devote myself to being faithful. D is I will devote myself to being faithful. It says in Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Does it say in some of your ways submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight? Does it say in the ways you're comfortable with, submit to Him? In the areas of life that you're okay with Him having control over, submit to Him, but I'm going to keep these over here for myself? That's not what it says. It says, in all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs uses the metaphor of a path. The path can be good or bad, depending on whether you're striving to be righteous or unrighteous, whether you're striving to be wise, or whether you're taking the path of a fool. And the difference between those two groups is a person who's striving to be righteous is a person who is inviting God's authority into their life, who is living under that authority. That's righteousness. Unrighteousness is somebody, wickedness is somebody who's just not living under God's authority. And guys, the thing is, He gives you a choice. He doesn't make any of us robots. He doesn't force Himself on anybody. He says, hey, here's life. You make your choice. I'm creating you in My image where you get to make your choices. You can seek My blessing and My authority, or you can live life your way thinking you can bless yourself more. And He really does just leave it up to us. So you've got a choice to make in this. And I've got a choice to make in this. We can be devoted to being faithful, or we can do our own thing. You know, it's just up to us. The E is I will engage in God-honoring relationships. If I want to be righteous, I will engage in God-honoring relationships. If we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be devoted to being faithful, it's not something we're going to be successful at on our own. The Bible doesn't so much argue. It says very explicitly in a couple of places that you need to be part of a church, that you need to attend meetings when the church meets together, that you need to be involved. It says that straight up. But most of the time, that doesn't even need to be said in the New Testament, because everybody, it was just assumed that you already were an active part of the church. And their society, whenever they became Christians, there was a lot of persecution. There was a lot of people becoming social outcasts. You were giving up a lot to give your life to the Lord. We, on the other hand, honestly, in our country, most of us are not giving up tons just to follow Jesus. We've got some freedoms here. We're in a good situation, unlike people in other places, with our laws and stuff here. But that's a double-edged sword, because it also makes us really lazy. Because we have these ideas of easy conversion, where I can give my life to the Lord, but I'm not really going to change anything. You know? It's not really going to alter my life that much. Man, if you've had an encounter with Jesus and you were living unrighteously, and then you have this encounter with Jesus and you start trying to live righteously, there should be a change in you. And there should be a humility in you where you're willing to let other people help you do that who are trying to do the same thing, because it's hard. It's not easy. If anybody comes along and tells you that being a disciple of Christ is an easy thing, I disagree. I don't think it's easy. Because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to let you be God now. I've been God this whole time. I've just been doing my thing, but I'm going to let you be God now. Guys, that takes some getting used to. That takes some getting used to. And when you have this conversion and you go from being your own God to letting Him be God, remember how this has a number on it? Remember we said whenever you're converted, you join a team, okay? This is the church. Whenever Jesus covers you in His righteousness, you are on His team. You are part of His church. You are part of the called out ones. You are part of His holy people. Part of the reason Jesus does it that way is because He knows you need help. And He knows I need help. But guess what? He also knows you can help somebody else. Because He's created you to be able to do that. And not just people in the church, but people outside the church. Man, you join the team, you start playing ball on God's team, you're going to start blessing the world around you. And that's actually our last point here, is the R. I will receive God's blessings. Guys, this is good for us, but it's also good for others. I will receive God's blessings. It says in Proverbs 3, 32 and 33, "For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into His confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the righteous." He blesses the home of the righteous. How many of you guys are interested in getting God's blessings today? You want God's blessings? Yeah, I would too, right? Especially if it comes from God, because if it comes from God and God says it's a blessing, man, that's probably pretty good. What do you think? I think it's pretty good. He probably knows what He's talking about. You want to know what a wicked person is, though? I already mentioned it earlier. The difference between a wicked and a righteous person is a wicked person in the Scripture is somebody who doesn't live under the authority of God. That's all it means. Does that sound wicked to you? Because they can look nice. They can look nice. Guys, I've got close friends, I've got family that are when I look at their lives, I'm like, man, they're good people. You know, they treat people kindly. They're the kind of people that'll stop and help a homeless person. But if you ask them about God, they're like, I don't believe that fairy tale stuff. And so there's other areas of their life where they just make their own decisions that they think best. Really, it's okay for my kid to get on birth control at 13. I don't want him to get pregnant. You know? It's no big deal. She can have sex. Ain't gonna hurt her. Or, you know, some of the other stuff we talk about, I'm gonna keep giving examples. There's other areas of their life where I'm like, no, that's not right. But honestly, if the world looks at them, they're like, they're good people. But God looks at them, and I'm not trying to be mean, guys. Tell me that shirt. Where's that nasty shirt at? Can I see that again? You didn't want to hold it the whole time? I'm not trying to be mean, okay? But God looks and says they're dirty. They're corrupted. They're out of order. They're not okay. And they're like, but I put it through the washing machine. Why is your God so mean? Why is your God so judgmental? And God's saying, I'm not being judgmental. I'm telling you what's true. You're dirty and you need help. It's that simple, guys. When the Bible says your righteousness is like filthy rags before God, that's what it means. Did we read that passage earlier when I was talking about this shirt? Isaiah 64:6. Did we skip that one? It's on your notes. All of us have become like one who's unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's in the Bible, guys. You say, I'm a good person. God says, this is the objective truth. It's like filthy rags. So what do I need to do if I'm here today and I haven't taken that first step toward this? Guys, if you want God's blessing, if you want to invite God's blessing into your life, you have got to invite God's authority into your life. And if you are ready to invite God's authority into your life, we're here to help you do that. Because church is a team sport. It's not a solo act. If you are doubting, guys, there's a lot of people that doubt. And they feel like they can't have a relationship with God because they've got doubts. Guys, did you know there were spiritual giants in the Bible that doubted? But you want to know the difference between those that doubted that God considered righteous and those that God considered unrighteous? Do you believe enough, or do you want to believe enough that you obey? Because you can doubt, you can struggle, but the thing is, you can be a doubter and an obedient doubter, and God's still going to cover you with His righteousness. Because when you obey, you're saying, you know what? I don't know if all this is real or not. I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm going to invite God's authority into my life. God's like, all right, I'll take care of you. Do you believe enough to obey? And do you believe enough to seek? Because we've got some resources here. We can help you. So just ask. If you're visiting with us today, we want to welcome you. We're glad you're here. I want to invite everybody to pull a card out, though. We're just going to close out our lesson here. We've got a cardstock piece of paper in your bulletin. For our guests, if you are just kind of checking out the Crossings and you want to learn more, we would really love to get to know you. And we've got a great small group ministry here. We've got an awesome youth ministry. We've got an awesome college ministry. We've got an awesome children's ministry. If we can help you with anything, if you want to learn more about our church, you can check that on there. If you want to learn more about small groups, you can check that on there. But we would love to connect with you. For our members, I want to remind all you guys that faith and following Jesus is one of those things that's a process. And we will have good times and we will have low points. But man, when we get in a low point, when we get stuck in a rut, what we need to do is we need to acknowledge where we are and we need to lean into our brothers and sisters. Because again, that's why God puts us together, is because we're going to need help. Sometimes I'm going to be able to help you. Sometimes you're going to be able to help me. But if that's where you're at, indicate it on there. If you need prayer for anything, indicate it on there. If you need information about anything else we offer, indicate it on there. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to close out, and look forward to getting to know you guys. Hey, you want this? No? Okay. Let's pray. God, thank you for bringing us together today. Father, I pray as we think about righteousness that this truth will resonate with us. Father, that righteousness is your order in our lives. Righteousness is a choice. God, it's not about trying harder. It's about inviting your authority. It's about getting the help that we need. And so, Father, if this is one of those areas that any of us are struggling with, God, if we're struggling with your authority, if we're struggling with trusting you, Father, I just pray you'll help us this morning and help us to get connected to the resources and the help that we need. Help us to understand that your grace and your covering is available to all of us, Father, if we seek it and we put it on. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.